Moncrief on News Talk.
For a change, May the 4th will not be Star Wars Day. To celebrate 50 years since the release of Monty Python's Holy Grail, the film will be re-released on that date. Our own John Fardy is a massive fan. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Sean.
At the time, no one had done anything like this before. I mean, you know, take a TV show and turn it into a movie.
No, absolutely not. It was the first of its kind in that way. In the way that Monty Python's Flying Circus was the first of its kind. And it pretty much run for 5 years consistently from 69 to 74. And not all the Pythons were enamoured with this idea. You know, let's make a movie based on what we do and let's make it around King Arthur. But it, you know, it created a very strange magic. You may be aware, but it was funded by Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd mostly, right? And the analogy of an album is kind of well made, because in a way, the making of the Monty Python and the Holy Grail is a lot like the way a Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd album may have been made, and that it was kind of utter chaos on the shoestring of an idea with kind of six comedic geniuses all coming together. So they got, you know, I think it was £300,000, which wasn't a huge amount of money at the time. And it was co-directed by two of them, the two Terrys, Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones. And, you know, once they came up with a plot and the story and all the different Python-esque ideas, Terry Gilliam was very keen to make, I don't want to say an art house movie, but he wanted it shot right, and he wanted this kind of gothic English vibe to it and smoky scenes. And Terry Jones was a bit like, come on, man, we're making a pastiche of King Arthur. Do we really need to be doing all that? But what's funny is, and I had forgotten this, and I rewatched it last night, purely for this, so obviously my fee will go up because of the time I spent last night, but I always thought it was hilarious every time I've seen it since, but I'd forgotten how stylistically good it is. The shooting is very clever in it, and it does look kind of Arthurian or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and because I remember reading that then after that, a few other films that might have come out that would have been deadly serious set in that era, people were laughing at them because it reminded them of Monty Python.
Yeah, they kind of borrowed the style from them. But the strange thing is that, you know, it was on a shoestring. So despite how well it looked, that was a serious achievement. So you may remember, none of them are on horses. There's someone going along clapping coconuts. And that seems genius now, but that was really the mother of invention, because they couldn't afford horses. So in a strange dovetailing of events, they just got the coconuts. And it seems like comic genius at this stage, but they're all pretending to be on horses. But it was simply because they couldn't afford it. But what I was really struck by again when I watched it last night is, you know, there are comments being made about it, and it's you know, there's stuff about society and the working class, and they're debunking, you know, the foundational myths of Western power, and, you know, I could go really pretentious and talk about Brechtian havoc with traditional ideas, and all that stuff is in there, right? But it's hilarious. And the most important thing is, like, it's just about 50 years old. The jokes still really hold up. And there's, you know, there's almost a drinking game-ness to it in terms of the quotable lines. And you've got to be careful here, because I could go down a rabbit hole and just quote lines at you for the next 10 minutes. But, you know, the knights who like to say knee,
yeah.
The John Cleese knight who said it's just a flesh wound after his two arms. You see, I'm laughing already. We're cut off. Michael Palin stumbling upon these very chaste women who haven't seen a man in a long time, and they're demanding a spanking, and then they all join in, I'll need a spanking too. But he gets rescued and he really doesn't want to leave. It's so, so funny. It really is. And Monty Python, you know, I know people have this view sometimes, they've heard about it and they watch Monty Python's Flying Circus. And this might seem like heresy to say, but sometimes not all the sketches land, I think it's fair to say, right? But I think with this, the movie, it's the most fully realized comedy they ever did, because it's laugh after laugh, despite the cleverest, because comedy at its source, and I wish more movie makers would remember this, has to be funny. Whatever about analogies they're making to Arthurian past or society, it has to be funny. And the hit rate in terms of how often you laugh with Monty Python and the Holy Grail is very, very high. And I can attest to that, having only watched it 14 hours ago.
You know? Yeah. And though it's worth remembering too, Like Terry Jones went on to be a very accomplished historian and you know, wrote books about Chaucer. And I think I actually interviewed him once about, he wrote a book called Who Murdered Chaucer. What's, that was still amazing in a way. Now, I suppose it's your analogy to a band. There were six of them there. There were six fairly strong personalities and quite different people, yet they still managed to agree somehow on how they should proceed about things.
And it seems incredible. You know, I mean, you look at the Beatles, you know, the four of them, like six of them with those giant, you know, comedy brains and giant egos, let's be honest about it. So it's a miracle it got over the line, because there was this constant tussle with the Pythons about who was writing the jokes and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's funny, you may not remember this, but I remember one day in News Talk, you interviewed Terry Gillingham, and you happened, again, a dovetailing of events, to interview him the day Terry Jones had passed away.
Yes, actually, you're right. Yeah. Crikey.
You may have made some off-colour remark about how you planned it that way, but I wouldn't dare repeat that. You know?
He probably laughed, though, at the same time. At least I hope they did. God, that's two Pythons I interviewed. That's not bad. I really wish, though, that because apparently when this became more of a success, perhaps, and they anticipated that, you know, the other films came after that, I really wish they'd gone with the original title for Life of Brian, which was Jesus Christ, Lust for Glory. Though
yes.
It would still be banned in Ireland if that was the case. It's coming out on May the 4th, though, John. Might that be not the best date for them?
Because of Star Wars, the 4th. Yeah, I know that it seems like it. But again, a very Python-esque move. I should also mention, I just meant to say, the now sadly departed Graham Chapman, who actually died in 1989, one of the other pieces of chaos on it was he sobered up and never drank for the rest of his life. But he was still in the thick of it when they were filming Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And there were stories about long delays because he couldn't remember lies, and he was blitzed for a lot of the filming. So just by the by, because he's great in it. But by all accounts, he was rarely sober in the making of it. But sorry, yes, May the 4th seems like a very strange date to re-release it. But as I say, a very Python-esque move. And I'm telling you, I know I'm labouring this point, but it's going to get a new audience again, because Python are the type of people who, you know, you hear about. And I remember seeing this, it would have been like 1992 when we were teenagers trying to be cool, and we heard about Monty Python and we couldn't get over it. We'd never heard of it and watched it. And this was the days of videos, right? So I remember getting the video with a pal of mine. Say we got it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, think about this now. Your kids or my kids couldn't fathom this. But you remember, you had to give it back the next day. So we watched it once, took an hour break, watched it again, reconvened the next morning and watched it again. So I'm not sure if it was the genius of Monty Python or a quest to get value for money in 1990s working class Dublin, but we watched it three times in the space of 24 hours.
Yeah, that is value for money. John, we will, of course, increase your fee because you watched it last night, but I'm told by management we won't pay for the spice bag you got when you're reading it. John Fardy.
Fair enough.
John Fardy, thanks a million.
Cheers.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.